Hello and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to all you regular listeners. I'm so thankful that you are here. Thank you for downloading yet another day. And welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time. It's no accident that you are here today, friends. So please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around for a bit and let's see what the Lord has for us today. Oh, I'm so excited for us to be thinking about the truth that is in His Word. And what we are going to focus on today is such an encouragement. And in fact, right after this verse, a verse or two after this verse, I believe Paul says, encourage, comfort one another with these words. And it is such a comfort. So I'm excited for us to park in His Word today, to think about Him, to think about the truth that we find here. Please know that I continue to pray for you all daily, even though I don't know who every one of you are. God knows. He knows what you're in the middle of. He knows what you're coming out of and what you're getting ready to go into. And He is faithful and He loves us so much. And so I just want you to know that I continue to pray that He will draw you closer to Him, that He'll give you more of a desire to know Him and His Word, and that you will be intentional about making time, carving out that time, those appointments with Him throughout the day. And you likely won't have enough time in just one appointment a day. It needs to be sprinkled throughout the day. So whether you're working on your Bible study, whether you're spending time in prayer and worship, working on memory verse, reading His Word, there are multiple ways that we can focus our hearts and minds on Him today. And we often need to stick little reminders here, there, and everywhere to think about Him and His goodness and His faithfulness and what He's done, and to remind ourselves to follow Him and to be led by His Holy Spirit and not to drift away. And so I just want to encourage you in that. Please know that I love to hear from you. I love to hear what God's doing in your life as you're spending more time with Him. And please consider sharing this podcast with friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may also receive a blessing from it. Well, our verse for the day for April the 16th, 2024, comes from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Oh, friends, there's a lot of stuff here. We're talking about what's going to happen when Jesus calls His church home. And so I am so excited to think about these things. You know, no man knows the day or the hour. Jesus said only the Father in heaven knows the day or the hour. So if somebody tells you they know exactly what day it is, you can just pretty much write that one off. No matter how learned they seem to be, because God's Word says otherwise. No man knows the day or the hour, but we know there is a day that Jesus has been granted and will be granted by the Father, where He says, son, go get your children. And I'm so excited to think about this and be encouraged by this. This is encouraging for those of us who are believers and who have dear family and friends and those that we love who have gone on before us, who have passed away. There's a day coming when we're all going to be caught up if we believe, if we are believers and we've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. There's a day that we're all going to be caught up together to meet Him in the air. And I believe that that's a literal thing. Other people who claim to be Christians and who don't take the word literally would say otherwise, but nope, I believe exactly what the word says, and I'm looking forward to that day. But let's think about where we are in the scripture. Let's talk about to whom this letter was being written, who wrote it, what was going on, and that will help us understand what Paul was doing as he encouraged the believers at Thessalonica. We know that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter because it opens up in this way. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father. Knowing, brothers, beloved by God, your election for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full assurance, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord is sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of an entrance we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. I love Paul's opening here. He doesn't tell us this time that he... much about his credentials like he does in some of the other letters that we've talked about. He tells us who is with him. Silvanus, which is thought to be Silas, and Timothy were with him. But he doesn't say to them that he was an apostle or that he was called by the will of God or that he was a slave of Christ like he does in some of his others. He just jumps right in telling how thankful he is for these believers. This is such an encouraging letter. We know that this is one of Paul's 13 letters that we have in the New Testament, and we read about his time going to Thessalonica, going to see the Thessalonians in Acts chapter 17. And so I'm going to hop over there. But an interesting thing was this was in the region of Macedonia, and in chapter 16 of Acts, we read that Paul had seen a vision. I want you to listen to this in 16:6. It says, "And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the gospel to them." And so this area of Thessalonica was in that region. And you heard in that opening that once these Thessalonians had become believers, that they, the story and the reputation of their faith and how they had lived out the truth of the gospel was known throughout the region in Macedonia and Achaia and all of that. And so I'm thankful for the example of how Paul and those who traveled with him listened to the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit guided them. But we see here in Acts chapter 17, you may recall that when they were at Philippi, they got run out of town. They were jailed. And then the officials realized that they had jailed Romans, and so they just wanted them to get out of town. But right before that, the Philippian jailer had become converted. He and his household had all believed, And then we get to Acts chapter 17. And it says, now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and setting before them that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is that Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a great multitude of the God-fearing Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous, taking along some wicked men from the marketplace and forming a mob, set the city in an uproar. And attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the assembly. And when they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brothers before the city authorities, shouting, these men who have upset the world have come here also. And Jason has welcomed them, and they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. And they disturbed the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things, and when they had received the bond from Jason and the others, they released them. And the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see what things that, to see whether these things were so, I should have said. So we see that Paul and Silas and had gone and Timothy into Thessalonica. They reasoned with the Jews for three Sabbaths, and then they reasoned with others there, and it caused a great uproar. So they were run out of town, and then they went. Paul and Silas went in the night down to Berea and continued sharing. But Paul tells us at the opening of this letter of 1 Thessalonians that as he's recounting how the Thessalonian believers received God's word and then how they just jumped right in and did what they were supposed to do in loving one another, in having that faith and having that hope, even though there was much affliction that went with it. And so Paul is encouraging them as he writes. He is refuting some of the false teachers who would say that he really wasn't able to be an apostle, and was reminding them that he had been entrusted with the gospel. And then, because Paul and Silas had to scoot out of town, it seems that Timothy stayed there, and then he sent them back this very encouraging report. Or, I'm not sure, he may have went away and then went back to Thessalonica, but at some point, he sent back an encouraging report to Paul and Silas, and Paul writes this letter in response to that, and also addressing some of the things that had been some areas of confusion, and then just also some exhortations about continuing in the faith, about not being idle, and about what were things that were going to happen later, like what was going to happen when Jesus called his children home. And there were some who had come under this mistaken notion that, well, they thought Jesus was coming back any day, and thought, well, if he's coming back, then we really don't have to work. We don't have to do anything. And Paul addresses that. He's like, no, you need to keep minding your own business and working with your hands and doing these sorts of things. And that's where some of those false teachers had crept in. But Timothy gave them gave this good report, and then Paul picks up, and as he's closing the letters, he's given much encouragement. And as I mentioned, that exhortation. So I want to read forward to our verse for the day, and so you can hear kind of his flow of thought. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, finally then, brothers, we ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. So keep doing what you're doing. I love that. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God did not call us to impurity, but in sanctification. Now, let me just pause and say, if you're new to this podcast or new to belief in Christ, that sanctification is kind of a churchy word that means to be set apart, to be made holy, to be sanctified. It's God doing his work in us to make us who and what he wants us to be for his glory. And then in verse 8 here, consequently, he who sets this aside is not setting aside man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning love of the brothers, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brothers who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to excel still more. He's like, keep on keeping on. I just love that. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will walk properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. And when he says asleep, it's those who have already died. Because some had told them that they thought, oh, gracious, if these have died, they're not going to get to be with Jesus. They're not going to get to experience this. And he said, no, I don't want you to be uninformed about this. So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. And here's our verse. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And I'm going to read past it. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, as I mentioned, it seemed that there was some confusion. There was some concern. Well, what about people that have already died before Jesus calls us home? What's going to happen to them? And Paul is given this very strong encouragement. And I love what he says. In verse 15, right before verse 16, he says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So the Lord had given Paul very clear instruction, or he had given it to the others, the apostles who had shared this. Someone had heard this directly from Jesus, or been inspired by the Holy Spirit through a vision or something. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So he's reminding them the truth, what would happen, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not proceed. In other words, will not go before those who have fallen asleep. But in our verse, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There will be no question. When Jesus calls his people home, there's going to be the Lord descending from heaven. There's going to be a loud voice of the archangel. There's going to be a trumpet blast. And the dead, those who have been believers and have died, will rise first. Now, there are other places in Paul's letters, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians, that says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then I think about what Jesus told that thief on the cross, the one who believed in him. that said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And so some critics of the word will say, well, look, there's two different things. This shows that the dead in Christ are waiting until he calls us home. But then in other places, they go immediately. And I don't pretend to understand or know all the details or the ins and outs. I believe that it is a combination somehow of both. And when I was studying this in my study Bible, I used the MacArthur Study Bible, and on his commentary, he seemed to think that there would be a time, you know, our spirits go, our souls go immediately at death. That resurrected body, that new body that's going to be changed, may happen later. And that could have been what Paul was talking about. Those of us who are alive and left will be caught up with those who have died first in the air, and perhaps their new bodies will be with their spirit. I don't pretend to understand it. I believe all of it, and I know there are details that we don't have. And the reason that I think that's so is, listen to this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul is talking about the resurrected body. He says in chapter 15, verse 50 of 1 Corinthians, "Now I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the corruptible inherit the incorruptible. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on the incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible puts on the incorruptible, and this mortal puts on immortality, then will come about the word that was written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There's going to be a day when Jesus is going to call all of us home. And is that the day that we get, that we're all changed, that we'll see him as he is, that we'll get our new bodies? I think that's part of it. And I still do believe, though, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And whether that is a time issue, because God is not bound by time, I don't know, but I believe that all of his word is true, and that there is a day when all of us, when the church, the body of Christ, will be caught up. It literally means snatched away to meet him in the air. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to seeing him as he is and to be made like him, like we read in 1 John. So be encouraged. Comfort one another with these words, and let us look forward to that day when he calls us home. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.